The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall read to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. As I've mentioned over the last couple of weeks, part of the problem with December and January Reader's Digest is there's only one edition for 2 months. So we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but we'll do what we can to fill up some time here with interesting stuff. They send me stuff on a daily basis, and I'll use some of that today. But anyway, let's finish up the magazine, and then we'll move on. The Genius section, sharpen your mind. Put your ego aside, and there's a picture of a baseball there. Why it's so hard to take advice? More often than we expect, the best advice comes not from experts or our friends, but from the humbler sources. We just have to be willing to hear them. One morning in July 2011, a taxi sat idling outside Petco Park Stadium in San Diego, and Ray LeBlanc, a struggling pitcher for the Padres, climbed in. "To the airport, please," he told the driver. LeBlanc was headed to Tucson, Arizona, home of the club's AAA affiliate at the time. He'd been sent down to the minors again. "For the 8th time in 3 years." "You're Wade LeBlanc," the cab driver said. "Right. You got some good stuff." This surprised the pitcher after the previous night's disastrous performance. "I think there are some things you should think about trying," the driver continued. "I don't know. I'm not a player. Maybe something like going over your head in your windup." "Wait, what?" This guy was offering advice? Earlier in his career, LeBlanc might have laughed or been angry. But today, he just listened. He couldn't afford to dismiss anything. His career was on the line. The next day, in Tucson, LeBlanc huddled up with the pitching coach. He said he was thinking about tinkering with his windup. Instead of keeping his hands tight to his chest at the beginning of his delivery, he raised them briefly over his head as the cabbie had suggested. LeBlanc incorporated the new move into his next start, and he was brilliant, allowing only one hit over 7 innings. It was, in retrospect, the turning point in his career. 8 years later, LeBlanc is a pitcher for the Seattle Mariners. He signed his first contract extension of his Major League Baseball career at age 33. The funny thing about advice, we so often take it from the wrong people. That is, we overvalue the advice of credentialed experts while undervalue the input of regular folks. Wade LeBlanc bucked that trend big time, and he reaped the benefits. One reason taking advice is problematic for many of us is that the status matters a lot. A cognitive quirk called optimism bias, endows most of us with the general hopefulness that things will work out even when the odds suggest otherwise. And optimism bias gets ratcheted up, researchers have found, when the person offering advice is seen as an expert. The expert's bona fides boost the expectation of success if we listen to them, even though our confidence often proves wrong. Expert advisors often make surprisingly inaccurate predictions about the future, yet people heed their suggestions nonetheless, concluded Stanford University psychologist in a study published last year. Now, not everyone heeds the expert's advice. The more successful people become, the smaller the pool of advisors they trust. Participants in positions of power ignored almost two-thirds of the advice they received, according to one Harvard University study. Other participants, the control and low-power groups, ignored advice about half as often. So it required a massive leap of modesty to do what Wade LeBlanc did, hear what the taxicab driver was offering him, and accept it as a gift. A couple of years ago, filmmaker M. Night Shyamalan found himself in a similar blot as LeBlanc, and likewise benefited from advice from a humble source. This time it wasn't a taxi driver, but a movie critic. After the huge commercial and critical success of The Sixth Sense, Shyamalan's fortunes had grown cloudier. Box office for his later movies was decent, but the critics had turned on him. One likened his psychological thriller The Village to an episode of Scooby-Doo. Instead of shrugging off this critic, Shyamalan wondered whether there might be something to the pan. His signature as a filmmaker was a kind of genre-bending twist. You think you're watching one kind of film, and then it morphs into something different. A drama becomes a psychological thriller. A psychological thriller goes supernatural. Each transition shifts the intensity. But for the technique to work, the intensity must escalate. In The Village, it didn't. Shyamalan shelved his ego and took the criticism to heart. Don't pretend you're not hurt by what the dude just said, was what Chameleon took away from the experience. Instead, he decided to go with it. The director doubled down on his signature shape-shifting style for his next film, Split, which told the story of a man with 24 personalities. His own agent didn't think he could sell it, so Chameleon financed the $9 million film himself. It made more than $270 million and became one of the most profitable pictures of 2017. It also won back his critics. Most of us aren't much good at taking advice from anyone. We tend to put more stock in our own opinions than the opinions of others, owing to yet another cognitive blind spot called egocentric bias. It's frankly easier to believe that our critics are too thick to grasp our genius, or are jealous, or have some kind of agenda, than to allow them that they may be right. The required leaf of humility is a big ask. One useful trick comes from modern philosophy. According to the Korean Zen monk Hamin Sumtim, when someone's coming at you with reproval, that's when you need to lower your defenses, not raise them. Those who give you a hard time, they are teachers in disguise. Well, we often do word power here, although we don't do it every time. But let's do it this time because it's the 75th anniversary. Felicitous commemoration. As the Reader's Digest feature celebrates a big anniversary, we'll look back at some of its greatest wits. You might say it got off to a spurious start. That was the very first stomper in our inaugural word power quiz 75 years ago, in January 1945. The correct definition is false. The column came from author, publisher, and lifelong word nerd, William J. Funk. His father was the Funk of Funk and Wagner's Encyclopedia. Wilford conjured up nearly 5,000 words in 20 years of writing. It pays to increase your word power. Then he passed in the dictionary to his son, Peter Funk, who later appeared in the title, It Pays to Enrich Your Word Power. Enrich. That's such a word power word. Over the years, word power has had many spin-offs, books, apps, board games, and a national competition for kids. It appears in all Reader's Digest foreign language editions. It's called Pisamu. Taken one's word, in the French-Canadian version, but its most surprising and delightful incarnation might be a 1991 parody on The Simpsons, when the semi-literate Homer falls in love with a magazine called Reading Digest. My favorite section is How to Increase Your Word Power, he announces. That thing is really, really, really good. To celebrate its 75th, enjoy this enriched column. Worth 1,000 words, over the years, word power has featured a variety of whimsical images, such as the brainy fellow from the January 1969 issue. And it's a picture of a funnel with stuff being dumped into it. A few reader flashbacks. A happy word power memory. Doing word power was a friendly competition between my father and me. I would give him my Reader's Digest with my word power score circled in the upper right-hand corner of that page. Wouldn't be long until he called with his results. We thought we were pretty smart if one of us got every word correct. Dad has been gone for 20-plus years, but I still circle my score and wonder how he would have done. Suzanne Lyons, Neuss, State College, Pennsylvania. A word power word that my husband was to have incorporated into our vocabulary, and his has become of our favorite, is ZARF, that's C-A-R-F, which means coffee cup sleeve. In fact, it is such a normal word for us that when we mention needing one at a coffee place, we get strange looks. They have no idea what we were talking about. Chris Scovel, Greeley, Colorado. Now, who knew that? Who knew that ZARF was that word? When I was growing up, my mother would occasionally ask, are you discombobulated today? I was surprised to see this word in a recent word power. I always thought my mom made it up. I can now use it with confidence. Renee Lorette in Clarkdale, Arizona. My grandmother was the wife of a dairy farmer in rural Tennessee and had a high school education at most, but she was an ardent, avid student of word power. I remember when I was married in 1985, our gift from her arrived with a note wishing us conjugal felicitations. Henry Harrell, Ocala, Florida. Okay, the words in this month's quiz come from 1945, the first year of word power. Each with its original answer choices, all four of them. Word power was harder back then. Saturnine. Is it ugly in looks, gloomy in grave, threatening in manner, or bitter of tongue? Saturnine is gloomy and grave. I spent a lot of time listening to Saturnine music as a teenager. Incarnate. Is it vulgar, personified, inflammatory, or crimson? Incarnate. Personified. As a yoga instructor and former professional ballet dancer, Morgan is grace incarnate. Duff. Clumsy fellow. A parasitic plant that grows in swampy land. A small utility bag. Partially decayed vegetable matter on the forest floor. Duff. Partially decayed vegetable matter on the forest floor. The park rangers are clearing duff and deadwood to try to prevent wildfires. Siesta. Spanish farm, a carnival, an ended market, or an afternoon nap. Siesta. It's an afternoon nap. I wish our office encouraged daily siestas, Max said, stifling a yawn. Invey. That's I-N-V-E-I-G-H. Is that to carry, to encroach, to entice, to rail bitterly? Invey is to rail bitterly. Some people burn vey against the commercialization of Christmas, but I love giving gifts. Viable. Easily influenced. Capable of living. Powdery. Land that can be plowed. Viable is capable of living. I hope these steeds are still viable. They've been in my basement for a few years. Serried. S-E-R-R-I-E-D. Is that broken? Uneven? Compacted in rows, toothed on the edge like a saw. Compacted in rows. Henry prefers the countryside to the serried, teeming streets of Manhattan. Limbo. Dialect, acrobat, place of oblivion, bodily organ. It's a place of oblivion, The phone rang while I was still in the limbo between being asleep and awake. Antiphonal, that's A-N-T-I-P-H-O-N-A-L. Is that religious? Sonorous, taking studied opposition to a line of reasoning, or sung alternately and responsively. It's sung alternately and responsively. In the hymn's lively antiphonal section, the altos and the sopranos take turns singing the melody. Entourage, floor in a hotel. One's attendants and associates, a trip, or an entrance. An entourage is one's attendants and associates. The starless is rarely seen in public without her entourage in tow. Now they're called crews rather than entourages. Blazon, B-L-A-Z-O-N. Is that to brag? To proclaim? To flame? To print? Proclaim! The protesters blazoned their demands on signs and T-shirts. Interesting how many of these words are not being used very often nowadays. Brash, impetuous and pert, boorish, sarcastic, or outrageous. Impetuous and pert. Emily's brash attitude has made her unpopular with her team. Kulak, K-U-L-A-K. Is that a Persian drink? Poor Russian farmer, Estonian ox cart, or rich Russian peasant? It's a rich Russian peasant. Julia's novel is based on the life of his great-great-great-grandfather, a kulak, in the 19th century. Mull, M-U-L-L. Think over. Winnow, moisten, or sulk. It's think over. I can't mull the options before I make my decision, Bruce asked. Cartel. Topographical map. Medieval playing card. Explanation of separate firms and to maintain prices. And two-wheeled Roman vehicle. A cartel. A combination of separate firms to maintain a combination of separate firms to maintain prices. The powerful cartel controls all the oil industry in the region. Now let's do a few things that the Reader's Digest sent me about what different stuff that they're just visionettes of little target and the little things that take place. Here's why Amazon doesn't sell these 13 things. Amazon has changed the way we shop. You can get anything on the site, right? Actually, the retail giant has to draw the line on some products. Here are the items you have to find elsewhere. Pets. Thankfully, you cannot expect to purchase the family pet on Amazon. Pets, livestock, and marine mammals are strictly prohibited from being sold on the site, and with good reason. Primarily being that none of these should be kept in a warehouse awaiting an order. If you're prepared to adopt an animal, one option is to search Petco listing of adoptable pets in your area. And, of course, rescuing an animal from a local shelter will do a world of good for both your family and its newest member. Lottery tickets. Most of us wouldn't turn down an opportunity to strike it rich, but you're still going to have to wait in line if you want to score a lottery ticket. On Amazon's list of prohibited items are lottery tickets and coin-operated slot machines, in the event you want to start up a hometown Vegas-style operation. Rules and regulations about selling lottery tickets vary by state, and merchants must apply to become a retailer of lottery tickets. For example, the California Lottery asks that the potential sellers have more than 200 customers daily, be able to accomplish official lottery equipment, to accommodate official lottery equipment, and be in a retail setting like a grocery store or gas station, among others. Guns. Considering how easy it is to buy a gun these days, it's surprising you can't get one on Amazon. In its guidelines, the site states, Amazon prohibits the listing or sale of firearm, ammunition, and ammunition components for assault weapons, black powder guns, handguns, muzzle loaders, pistols, shotguns, and rifles. However, they do permit BB, air pellet, and airsoft ammunition. The reason Amazon stays out of the lethal gun business is that state and local laws vary around the country, and it would be tough for the site to comply. Tobacco. You can find a variety of accessories for smoking habit, like ashtrays, pipes, and cigarette paper on Amazon, but don't expect to find any actual tobacco products. E-cigarettes, regardless of whether or not they contain nicotine, are also a no-no on the site. It would simply be tedious for the company to verify age of buyers ordering tobacco products online. In 2015, JAMA Pediatrics released a report revealing the ease with which minors could buy e-cigarettes online. 76.5% of purchases attempted were successful. By taking themselves out of the equation, Amazon can make sure they aren't violating any federal, state, or local laws. Contact lenses. No matter whether you're looking for contact lenses that are purely cosmetic or those that are corrective, you can't buy them on Amazon. They're on the prohibited list because they do not meet the checklist requirements, though which requirements those are isn't clear. You'll have to mosey over to a place like CVS to pick up new pair. Wine. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky. There are some pre-approved sellers who can hand hog vino on Amazon, but they have to comply with federal, state, and local laws. For instance, not all states allow the shipping of wine. Kentucky, for example, Amazon Prime Now customers can still get 1 or 2 hour delivery on wine if a store that serves their area sells it. Verifying that a customer is 21 or older is tricky, so the site wants to limit the practice to sellers who have been pre-approved. Gas. Sorry, partner, you can't stock up on fuel through Amazon. This falls under the hazardous and dangerous items umbrella. Shipping gasoline is a truly bad idea. According to the United States Postal Service site, gasoline isn't mailable under any circumstances. However, they will ship things like camp stove fuel on a limited quantities. Amazon also sells it. Why driver engagement? No, I'm sorry, that's an advertisement. I'm reading off my computer, so I apologize if something slips in here. Cars. If you know about the online car service Carvana, you would probably just assume that you could pick up a new set of wheels on Amazon as well. Not so. They prohibit the sale of motor vehicles that require registration, basically any vehicle you can drive on the road. If you want to buy a car online, you really need to go to a car online site. Fireworks. This is a no-brainer, considering how many states ban the sale of consumer fireworks altogether. Additionally, Amazon won't sell you the milder types like sparklers or party snappers. Your best bet? To use some good old-fashioned air-compressed party poppers for any celebrations. Confederate flags. After the Charleston church massacre that killed 9 black parishioners in 2015, Amazon joined other retailers in banning Confederate flag merchandise from being sold on their sites and in their stores. While Amazon didn't comment on the ban, flag makers Valley Forge stopped producing the Confederate flag and shared their hope for the future with NBC News. We hope that this decision will show our support for those affected by the recent events in Charleston and in some small way help foster racial unity and tolerance in our country. Another thing they don't sell yet is real estate. Currently, you can't purchase real estate on America on Amazon due to the Real Deal, according to the Real Deal. There are rumblings that the e-commerce giant might buy up real estate site Redfin as a way to enter the marketplace. Really, both companies will be better together than they would be apart, said housing and consumer finance analyst Jack Machenko. In a 2019 report. But with so many regulations on buying and selling property that vary from city to city and state to state, it may not be in Amazon's best interest to head into the realtor territory. Goat's milk infant formula. Several years ago, there was an uptake in interest surrounding goat's milk infant formula, with some celebrity moms singing its praises. However, Amazon isn't buying what they're selling. Or rather, they aren't selling what many of these well-intentioned parents believed to be the best for their kids. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, goat's milk isn't recommended for infants because it doesn't contain enough iron, folate, vitamin B6, C or D, thiamine, niacin, or pantothenic acid. However, sites like Organic Start do carry it if you still want to get your hands on some. And theft devices. Criminals will have to look someplace else for crime-committing gadgetry. Amazon prohibits the sale of lock-picking devices, card skimmers, code grabbers, digital decoders, and more. The site doesn't like the liability implications, and what retailer would want to be associated with hawking items that benefit thieves? Even if you can't get these 13 things, there are still plenty of things you can buy on Amazon that you'll use every day. Things you probably never thought about until just now. You know all those little mysteries that you stop to ponder but look up? We get to the bottom of those, so now you know. Why do my fingers get wrinkly when I'm swimming? It may seem as if your skin is absorbing extra water during a soak in the pool or bathtub, but that's not the case. Researchers have known since the 1930s that people with nerve damage in their fingers don't prune up in the same way, meaning it's not just happening through osmosis. According to Scientific American, instead, it's caused by blood vessels below the skin that constrict, which seems to have an evolutionary advantage of making it easier for us to pick up wet objects. For a 2013 study published in Biology Letters, scientists found that the subjects with wrinkled fingers were faster at picking up submerged marbles, but didn't do any better at picking up dry objects than those with unwrinkled fingers. Why do cats climb into boxes? They do feel safe, according to Live Science, and it's not just your domestic tabby. Big cats also like to hide in a spot where nothing can sneak up on them. Susan Bass, Director of Public Relations at Big Cat Rescue in Tampa, Florida, told Menifloss that the tigers and other cats in her sanctuary will hop into any box big enough to hold them, just like the little kitty living at your house does. How do the colors blue and pink get assigned to boys and girls? It seems so embedded in our culture, but it wasn't always so. In 1927, Time magazine printed a chart showing that four major department stores suggested dressing boys in pink, according to Smithsonian magazine. In 1918, the trade publication Earnshaw's Infants Department wrote the general accepted rule is pink for the boys and blue for the girls. The reason is that pink, being a more decided and stronger color, is more suitable for the boy, while the blue, which is more delicate and dainty, is prettier for the girl. Joe B. Paletta, a historian at the University of Maryland and author of the book Pink and Blue, Telling the Girls from the Boys in America, told Smithsonian that the color designations were pretty much arbitrary until the 40s, when manufacturers attempted to interpret the preferences of the American audience and could easily have gone the other way. Why do car windows have little black dots? I've wondered that myself. The little black dots on your car windshield and windows and the black rims that surround them aren't just there for decoration. The dots date back all the way to the 50s, when car manufacturers used adhesive to hold car windows in place rather than metal trim. The black trim around the window is called Fritz, and the black dots are painted on the glass to hide the not very appealing look of the adhesive. The rims are actually baked into the window, so they hold the glue and windows in place. The dots serve in an aesthetically pleasing transition from the thick black line to the transparent window. They aren't just there to look nice, though they do help provide temperature structure control. When the glass is bent to fit into the frame of the windshield, it's heated up. The black-painted glass heats up faster than the rest of it. The dots help to distribute the heat more evenly and keep the glass from warping. Why do we hiccup? Believe it or not, hiccups might be an evolutionary holdover from our more fish-like ancestors, according to Smithsonian Magazine. During a hiccup, the muscles we use to inhale contract, while the vocal cords are slammed shut at the same time by the tongue and the root of the mouth. There's no discernible purpose for hiccups in humans, but a similar pattern of movement among amphibians is useful. When tadpoles are breathing underwater during a stage when they have both lungs and gills, they take in a mouthful of water, close the opening to the lungs, and then force the water out through their gills. In both humans and amphibians, the signal initiating hiccup activity comes from the brainstem. And guess what? Dogs get hiccups too. What were the first crops humans started to grow? And there's a picture of all kinds of different veggies here. Crop cultivation probably started with wild varieties of peas, lentils, and barley that humans already found growing naturally around 12,000 years ago in the Fertile Crescent region of the Middle East, including modern Iraq, Jordan, Syria, Israel, Palestine, and southeastern Turkey, and western Iran, according to NPR's food blog, The Salt. Why do seashells sound like the ocean? It's lovely to reminisce about your beach vacation by listening to the sound of waves in a big conch shell. Be aware, that isn't the ocean you hear. The shape of seashells allows them to capture and reflect ambient noise, amplifying certain frequencies. So when you hold on to your ear, you're hearing echoes of the quiet sounds that are already surrounding you. Nationally accredited audiologist Shruti Deshpande, Ph.D., and assistant professor at St. John's University and the Long Island director of Audiology Consortium, told HuffPost recently that empty bowls and bottles can produce similar effects. Why do humans have an appendix? We rarely think about appendix, a small structure near the beginning of the large intestine until it gets infected and requires emergency surgery. Been there, done that. Since Charles Darwin's era, may have thought the appendix, a vestigial digestive organ left over from some previous evolutionary phase of our development, and no longer in use. But in recent years, scientists have realized that many other mammals have appendixes, including koalas and beavers. The tiny organ might be part of the immune system, assisting the body's defenses by storing healthy gut bacteria. That's interesting. Why do cops touch the tail end of a car during traffic stops? For decades, police officers have put their fingers on a car's taillight as they approach the driver's side window in order to leave fingerprints. It's a just-in-case precaution that would prove they pulled a car over should they be injured during the encounter or go missing afterward, according to the Law Dictionary. The practice has fallen off recently, though, as dashboard and body cameras have become more commonplace. And lastly, why are school buses yellow? The color is officially called National School Bus Glossy Yellow, and it's standard across the United States. Back in 1939, a conference funded by the Rockefeller Foundation attracted transportation officials from all the then 48 states who came together and agreed on a number of safety standards for school buses, including the color. Yellow is very visible even in the early morning or late evening light, and black lettering on a yellow background is easy to read. It took until 1974 for all the school buses in the country to meet those standards. And with that, let's splish over to the consumer reports. And it's a feedback section. Our special report, Should We Break Our Bottled Water Habit, in the November 2019 issue, investigated the purity and safety of bottled water, a product that Americans spent $31 billion on in 2018. Your article shows how the bottled water industry has fooled people into thinking that their bottles contain something healthier than they get out of their taps. Bottled water is the biggest hoax ever foisted on consumers. There are cases, of course, in which bottled water is essential, natural disasters and situations like Flint, Michigan, where the water quality had been dangerous. But the vast majority of cases is a waste of money and an affront to the environmental, especially when it is bottled on a Pacific island and shipped abroad. Thanks for helping us see what is right thing to do. To me, this bottled water thing is about the craziest fad in my lifetime, except in cases like Flint, Michigan, where there should be 50% per bottle deposit on water bottles. That would remove billions of bottles from the landfills because people wouldn't want to mess with returning the bottles and would want to pay the deposit if they would throw their bottles in the trash. The main reason I avoid bottled water cost, but for me and the environment, I would estimate a family can spend about $1,000 a year on bottled water, while the cost of tap water is virtually nothing. If that money were invested in a stock mutual fund, it would nicely enhance anyone's retirement plans. Perhaps a subject for the future article in the Environment Cost, obtain the natural resources to produce the plastic, the cost to produce the plastic, or the cost to recycle or dispose of the plastic if it's not recycled. Thanks for your article on water. I feel it's important to ensure that whatever we are putting on our bodies isn't tainted with contaminants. I would suggest that in light of the startling information in the article, even more testing of water filters would be helpful to consumers. Your article did mention that most community water supplies have added fluoride to help prevent dental decay. Sometimes that is even state mandated. Bottled waters do not report if they have fluoride. Editor's note, the addition of small amounts of fluoride to drinking water has clearly helped reduce cavities. Not all bottled waters contain fluoride or recommended levels, and bottled water labels didn't have to list how much fluoride they do contain unless manufacturers have added it within set limits. So it can be difficult to know whether or not the product you buy has enough for the grit for protect teeth. It puzzled me that whenever I read an article on water quality, there is never a mention about distillers. I have used the same distiller for over 20 years and able to distill up to 4 gallons a day for pennies. Distillation removes dangerous and unpleasant contaminants. Some complain that distilled water can taste flat. However, I love it. Though CR has not tested home distillation devices, the process, which involves boiling water, then condensing the steam back into a liquid to remove contaminants, can be a good option for people who live in homes or communities with high levels of harmful substances, such as arsenic or lead in the water. Plant milks. I was excited to see the November issue included a section on plant milks. Being lactose intolerant, I have tried more plant milk varieties than I would like to admit. I was eager to see the comparison chart on nutrition, taste, and such, but why didn't you include rice, flax, and others? After trying out so many kinds, I found that I prefer flax milk. The folks who are lactose intolerant, have a milk allergy, or are vegan by choice, I would hope that this logic topic gets revisited again. We focused our testing on plant milk from the largest selling categories. Almond milk by far is the category leader, with soy and coconut distilled following. We included our milk because it's growing in popularity. Flax and rice milks have small markets. And in a CR test in 2014, we found rice drinks contain significant levels of arsenic. Where Americans tend to struggle with calories, fat, and sugar, and one tactic to measure that is to make small, sustainable changes throughout the day, consider this mark on replacing 2 ounces of 2% cow milk in your coffee every day with sweetened almond milk that requires no more than 2 pounds of body fat at the end of the day. What we're testing in our labs? Frying pans. We tested 13 uncoated pans. We test for how well a pan turns out evenly brown pancakes on a gas range, how evenly it can saute food, handle sturdiness, and more. The cream of the culinary crop, Brooklyn Copper Saute, $480 for a frying pan? Come on. Overall score 78. Lifetime worry. Manuel 644.26, copper, $250. Works with induction, too. All clad C4 copper, $200. Coffee grinders. We tested 8 models. We test for how well a model grinds coffee beans into coarse, medium, and fine grounds, clarity of corn controls, ease of cleaning, and operating noise. Great all-around grinder is the Oxbrew Conical Burr Grinder for $100. The best for drip view is the Belleville Smart Grinder for $200, and the quietest grind is Capresso Infinity Conical Blue Grinder for $100. My coffee bean grinder has tons of settings. How do I use them? It's true that some grinders have up to 60 settings. They exist to create different size ground tailored to the type of coffee you're making. In our lab, CR engineer Ginny Louie tests every grinder for 3 settings. Coarse, usually the higher settings, is best for cold brew machines and French press because they have a longer seeping progress that needs bigger grounds. Medium-sized grounds are best for your everyday hot cup of Drip Joe. The Breville above has a medium setting that's rated excellent. Fine grounds usually use the lower settings, are best for espresso. But extra settings don't automatically mean better results. Our top performer, the OXO, does a great job with just 15. True wireless earbuds. We tested 28 models for sound quality, including tonal accuracy, clarity, and more. We also assessed each model to fit. The best overall is the Samsung Galaxy Buds for $130. The rechargeable case adds 15 hours of playtime for Anker Soundcore Liberty Air for $80. And long warranty for less is the JLab Audio J-Buds for $50. Ellipticals for $1,000 and under. We tested 10 models, construction, including noise, feel, and ride, ease of use of the controls, displays, and exercise programs, and ergonomics, and more. The top performer in quality build was the Schwinn 470 at $900. The great heart rate feature was the Nautilus at $1,000. And the nice price without a heart rate programs was the Hortonus 50 at $650. Fitness trackers. We tested 17 models. For the ease of use, interaction and pairing with another device, step count and heart rate monitor accuracy, water resistant capabilities, and more. Big LCD display and accurate step counts. The Garmin Forerunner at $130. Color AMOLED touchscreen. The Samsung Galaxy Fit at $100. Slim touch screen. Fitbit HR at $100. And toilets. We'll end with this flushing just kidding. 35 models. The ability to move simulated solid waste through the bowl and enter the noise of flushing. How well flushing clears the bowl per gallons of flush and more. Powerful flush but noisy is the Kohler Highline Classic at $425. Very good flush for less is the American Standard Champion at $240. And the quietest commode is the Delta Turner Gravity at $170. Ask our experts. Is hand sanitizer just as good as working with soap and water? According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, your first choice should always be to wash hands with soap and water. It does a better job of getting rid of dirt, harmful chemicals, such as pesticides and certain types of germs, such as highly contagious norovirus. Cryptosporidium, which causes diarrhea and vomiting, and a potentially deadly infection C. difficile. A recent study also found that hand washing may be better than sanitizing and eliminate the virus through the study it didn't account for rubbing sanitizer in, which improves its performance. When you wash your hands, scrub for at least 20 seconds, making sure to wash the fronts and backs, under your nails, between your fingers, and under jewelry. Water temperatures doesn't matter, and plain old soap will do just fine. But if you can't get it to a sink, or you need to quickly protect your hands often while working, healthcare providers are a good example. Hand sanitizer is a good choice. They're not as effective as washing in some situations. Sanitizer still kills many bacteria and viruses, such as those that cause colds, and can be gentler on the skin than repeated snap soap and water scrubbing. Make sure to use a product that's at least 60% alcohol, the ingredient that kills the germs. Use enough to cover the backs in front of your hands and rub it in until your skin is dry. Brokerages now offer zero-fee trades. Is there a catch? Eliminating trade commissions as common investment fee is a current trend, says Penelope Wang, a senior money editor at Consumer Reports. Charles Schwab, which previously charged $4.95 per trade, says it will eliminate online trading commissions for its U.S. Stock Exchange traded funds, ETFs, and options. And it's not alone. E-Trade, Fidelity, and TD American have announced zero-fee commissions for online stock, ETF, and option trades. Robinhood, an investment app, has offered zero-commission trades since 2015. These zero-fee offerings may sound enticing, but they might not save you much money, especially if you're a small personal investor. The lack of commission fees may encourage you to trade more often, Wang says, which could end up hurting your returns more than it helps. Numerous studies have found that investors who trade often tend to underperform over the long run. That's true even for professional money managers, who typically lag behind their benchmarks, according to the data from S&P, Dow Jones indices. Most personal investors are better off buying and holding a simple index fund portfolio for the long term. Another option, choose a low-cost target date retirement fund, which gives you an all-in-one diversified portfolio that shifts to be more conservative as you approach your retirement age. Just be mindful of other experts that can add up over expenses that can add up over time, such as fund management and account maintenance fees. What does a locked or unlocked phone mean? A locked phone means it will work only with your current carrier service, says Richard Fisco, who oversees electronics testing at CR. If you bought a locked iPhone through AT&T, for example, you'll be able to use it only with AT&T service. Unlocking allows you to move to a new network, but you could keep using your original carrier with an unlocked phone. If you didn't request an unlocked model when you purchased your phone, it's probably locked. Every carrier has a different unlocking process, but most are pretty simple. Phones bought through Verizon, for example, are automatically unlocked 60 days after the phone is purchased. AT&T, on the other hand, requires that your device be fully paid off and that you aren't in an active service contract, either if it ended or you locked over an early transaction fee. Eligible customers could submit a form to AT&T.com device unlock. AT&T will confirm that your phone is unlocked within 2 business days, and if a confirmed request, other providers, such as Sprint, may require you to call customer service to start the process. For instructions by carrier, go to cr.org/unlock0120. CR Insight, affordable smartphones. Today's smartphones are truly stunning, but so are their hefty prices. The top 5 ranked models in CR's rating cost around $1,000. So our lab scrutinized our test results on a handful of phones under $500, and 2 Android models that rose to top performance, and there's a picture of them here. The Samsung Galaxy A50 has a super sharp 6.4-inch OLED display, a battery that lasts 34 hours, and a good amount of storage. The biggest drawback, says Rich Fiasco, the head of CR's electronics testing, is that you'll need a case for this one. After 50 drops in our tumbler, sans case, the A50's glass broke and the phone died. The Google Pixel is 3A XL, which has a smidge smaller OLED screen at 6 inches, made it through 100 drops with just some minor scratches. That may make it a better choice if you're clumsy. However, if their battery ran out slightly faster than the others, testing at 32.5 hours. Both models are only middle-of-the-mail road in camera quality, but with excellent displays and performance, they still have a lot to offer at reasonable prices, particularly the A50, a CR Best Buy. The Samsung Galaxy A50 at $350 is the overall score. It has a rear and 8 front-facing camera average quality on both of them, though the Google Pixel as well. The battery life on the Samsung Galaxy is excellent, or the battery life on the Google is good. Display is excellent on both. Performance is excellent on both. Calling is so-so. Durability on the Samsung is not very good. It's pretty good on the Google. And the ease of use is the same on both. Waffle makers. Breville Smart 4 Slicer, and there's a big, huge-looking waffle maker. You may think a waffle maker is a one-trick pony, but the simple appliance's non-stick grid is a versatile tool. You can find recipes for the making of waffle-shaped hash browns, omelets, mozzarella sticks, brownies, and more. Start with a waffle maker that can nail its main job. In our tests, to whip up batches of Kruitz's Belgian waffle mix, following the manufacturer's cooking instructions, and use a spectrophotometer that scans the waffles for color variation to assess cooking evenness. The best models make the process almost foolproof, says Tara Casigas, CR's lead cooking appliance tester. The top one in our test above, though pricey compared with others we tested, has a countdown timer, an audible indicator that tells you when the cooking is done, and a portioned batter cup to eliminate guesswork. And it only costs $250. Many happy returns. An estimated $72 billion worth of holiday merchandise is returned to U.S. retailers annually. The chart compares some of the most generous simulated products among the mega popular retailers. Others, such as Amazon, ABT, and Sears, and others 30-day returns. And Best Buy had a policy of just 15 days. Still, I know that many stores typically extend return windows over the holidays, January. So even if you think you've missed a return deadline, it's worth checking. And then I have a listing of the different things. Costco, no time limit, products purchased in the store. Who paid for the pays for the return shipping? For most online orders, you can print out a free return label, and proof of purchase is not required. No receipt is necessary with the exception of a few items. Sam's Club, no time limit with exceptions, such as tires and electronics. Customer return pays for the fee, but it will be deducted on your return thing. Required, an original receipt is required from Sam's Club. Bed Bath & Beyond, you have 180 days. Bed Bath & Beyond for shipping, they'll pay for most of online orders. Preferred, proof of purchase with a receipt, you'll get a refund or credit. Without one of your purchases made in the past, you'll get store credit. At Kohl's, you have 180 days, but premium electronics must be returned within 30 days. The customer pays for shipping, and they want a receipt. At Lowe's, you have 90 days, but 30 days for some items. Lowe's will pay for the shipping, return shipping, but a receipt is not required, but you'll be provided with a Lowe's card rather than an actual cash receipt. The Home Depot, you get 90 days with exceptions, which is normally electronics. The customer will pay for shipping, and a receipt is required. Walmart, you have 90 days or less with exceptions. Most items to be returned with a shipping service. The Walmart will print out a prepaid shipping thing, and a receipt is preferred but not absolutely necessary. A time traveler review on tires, what they've done. They started in 1938. We rate 15 tires. Goodrich rises to the top as a best buy, averaging a cost of 3.9 cents per 100 miles driven. In 1942, our test 8 brands of tire gauges revealed some have inaccurately low readings, but 5 of 10 filling stations we tested were inaccurately high, a course of underinflation and successive wear. In 1948, our first annual auto issue debuts, and we highlight new trends in post-war cars, such as spare tires being carried flat inside the trunk rather than on the back. 1953. Before our road test and again after we've driven for 800 miles, engineers weigh each tire on our specifically constructed scale, accurate to 1 gram, to determine the rate of rubber loss. And in 1968, Dodge Charger wheel covers are a don't buy. They rotate during use and can't be removed without damage. Getting a flat would be an exercise in frustration, we warn. In 1977, Goodyear introduces the first all-season tire, the Goodyear Tiempo, selling $3.5 million in its first year on the market. In 1993, our testers use an electronic device to track speed and distance in our dry and wet road braking test. A new tire with an odd design, the Goodyear AquaTread, is tops in our rating. And in 1998, the Michelin Man mascot named Biddlebibum turns 100 years old. When he was created, tires were mostly gray-white or beige, thus his coloring. And in 2019, a Michelin tire capable of providing winter traction year-round tops our performance of all-season tires. And it's the Michelin Crest Climate tire at $171. How to prevent vehicle fires. Passenger vehicle fires aren't as rare as you think. In the U.S., there are about 142,000 each year from 2014 through 2016, according to the Federal Emergency Management Agency. That's an average of just under 400 per day. Collisions were a contributing factor in only 5% of highway vehicle fires. Instead, most fires originate within the vehicle itself. These graphics above, and there's a picture of a car with different places starting, often result in mechanical problems, including a leak or a break in a vehicle's component. But there's plenty you can do to help prevent fires from starting in the first place. 62% of fires start in the engine, running gear, or wheel area, 12% in the passenger and driver area, 3% on an exterior surface, 5% in the cargo or trunk, and 9% or other. Look for leaks. If you see puddles under your car or notice fuel or oil levels dropping more quickly than usual, get it checked out as soon as you can, says John Ibbotson, chief mechanic for Consumer Reports, and service your car regularly. Regardless, a well-maintained car is less fire-prone. Know what's too hot. Become familiar with your vehicle's engine temperature gauge on the dashboard. If you know what's normal, you can better recognize dangerous increases and never ignore the smell of burning rubber or plastic. Keep off the tall grass. Don't park a car where flammables, including grass, are touching the catalytic converter, which sits under the front half of your car. It can reach temperatures above 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Check your wires. Electrical problems play a role in 21% of all vehicle fires, according to FEMA. So lift the hood and do spot checks for cracked or loose wiring. Also, if your car blows a fuse more than once, an indicator light doesn't work, or your car has trouble starting, that can be a warning sign. Bring it to a mechanic. Transport gas properly. If you must transport gasoline, carry only a small amount in a certified gas can that's sealed. The National Fire Protection Association suggests keep a window open for ventilation. Gas cans and propane cylinders should never be transported in the passenger compartment if you can help it. And be careful not to spill misuse such as spilling flammable liquid or gas too close to the vehicle. This is the third leading factor contributing to the ignition of vehicle fires. And snub out cigarettes. The heat source for 7% of all vehicle cars from open flames or smoking materials, such as cigarettes, cigars, matches, and the like. What to do in the event of a car fire? Pull over and shut off the engine. This stops the flow of fuel. Get everyone out as quickly as possible. Make sure to stay at least 150 feet away and never go back to retrieve items. Stand clear of all oncoming cars. Never open the hood or trunk. The rush of airflow could give the fire a boost. And call 911. Don't attempt to put out the fire unless you have a Class B or C extinguisher that you know you can use from a safe distance. Modernization labels. Resolving to eat healthier may be a lot easier in this new year, thanks to the revamped Nutrition Facts label, which makes its debut, mandated by the Food and Drug Administration, on many food items in January. Though some products and manufacturers have until July 2020, January 2021, or July 21 to comply. Charlotte Vallée's MS, Senior Policy Analyst for Food and Nutrition at CR, explains four changes that will be most useful. The more or less realistic prominent serving size. The bold serving size on many foods, such as soft drinks, ice cream, bagels, and cereal hot, has been increased to better reflect what people eat in one sitting. For packages that held between one and two servings, the nutritional information must now be presented for the entire package. If the package holds between two and three servings, but they could be eaten in one serving, such as a pint of ice cream, the label must show the nutrition info for both one serving and the whole package. CR Insight. By law, serving sizes are based upon the amount that people logically consume, but that doesn't mean you should eat that much. Far less than healthy foods, keep portions on the smaller size. Bigger, bolder calorie count. The number of calories in a serving really pops now, Valetti says. Calories are a small unit of energy. Consume more than you need, and your body stores excess as fat. CR Insight. Note the calorie count, but also consider where those calories are coming from. Eating 250 calories worth of nuts is very different from eating a 250-calorie Snickers bar, Valetti says. Excuse me. The calories are nuts supply protein, healthy fat, and nutrients such as magnesium and fiber, while the Snickers bar has 25 grams of added sugars. Added sugars. The total sugars line encompasses both the food's naturally occurring sugars as well as those added in a processing, such as syrup. The new line indicating the subset of added sugars is important because those are the ones you want to limit 50 grams a day or less on a 2,000-calorie diet. CR Insight. Requiring food makers to separate out added sugars might create an incentive for them to reduce the amount they add. Of course, some manufacturers may swap in sugar substitute, such as sucralose or stevia, or sugar alcohol, such as sorbitol or mannitol, Bolega says. So if you see a sugar reduction in your favorite food, you can check the ingredients to see whether or not the substitute was made. And new vitamins and mineral count. On the label, vitamins A and C now have been replaced with vitamin D and potassium because Americans don't get enough of these. The labels must also list the actual amount in milligrams or micrograms, in addition to a daily value percentage. To more fully understand where a food's nutrients are coming from, you should also scan the ingredients. If a vitamin or mineral is also listed there, it means it added to the food. Getting nutrients naturally from food is generally better than getting them from these additives. And let's do a couple of recalls. Cont 160 water bottles. Contigo is recalling about 5.7 million kids' cleanable water bottles. The silicone spout to detach, causing a choking hazard for kids. The bottles were sold at Costco, Target, Walmart, and other stores nationwide and online from April 2018 through June 2019 for $9 to $24. Take the water bottle away from children and call Contigo at 888-262-0622 or go to contigo.com for inspection instructions and to get a free replacement lid. Harbor Freight tools and knives. Harbor Freight is recalling about 1.1 million garden folding knives because the locking mechanism can fail to engage when you extend the blade, posing a laceration handle hazard. The knives were sold at Harbor Freight tool stores by telephone and online for harborfreight.com from July 2008 through July 2019 for about $5. What to do? Stop using the knife and return it to a Harbor Freight tool store for a full refund in the form of a $5 store gift card. Ronson torches. Zippo is recalling about 66,000 Ronson Tech torches because the torch can continue to produce a flame after the trigger is released into the off position, posing a fire hazard. The torches were sold at Ace Hardware, Walmart, and other stores nationwide and online at Zippo.com and Amazon.com from February through July 2019 for $30 to $40. Stop using the torch. Go to ramsa.call.com or Zippo.com for details for a refund. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for the people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so very much for listening.